All right. I mean, bug it.
Yeah. You should probably include that part, too.
All right, yeah. Fuck it. Let's get going. Welcome to Outwit Out Play Outcast. God, whose phone is that?
Hot monkey vibrators.
God damn it. I can't turn off the vibrate while I'm on Skype because all it does is turn down Skype.
Welcome to the professionalism of Outwit Outplay Outcast. We've got our website, outwitoutplayoutcast.com, and we are on Stitcher now. iTunes is still coming soon because Apple. Yeah, whatever. Sure. But we're on Stitcher, so you can find us on Stitcher. All right, episode...
Fuck Apple.
Episode 3. What was the name of the episode? I don't know.
Crazy is as crazy does.
Turn your fucking vibrator off, Brad.
I can't.
It's for pleasure.
Now, well, you need the vibrator for hot monkey sex.
Oh. You know what? Because I have a feeling we weren't going to see much of the white collar tribe if it hadn't been for that, because they were doing nothing this week. So thank God Shireen was there. And she seems to be one of the few people actually having fun. Like, in this episode, three people were like, Survivor's all about fun, man! And they were usually pissed off when they said it. Shireen, Jen, and Haley seem to be the only three actually having fun.
Yeah.
Shireen just like, and I love that CBS was like, hey, you know what? We're going to film these two monkeys going at it for as long as standards and practices will let us get away with it.
I really love her being so excited about it and her description to her tribe. She was like, I saw it all start to finish. And I was like,
they don't even cuddle, man.
No cuddling, nothing.
Details and shit.
I had to rewind. Each time I watched the episode, I had to rewind to watch her running back to camp because she had this excited grin on her face like, guys, guys, guys! I can't wait to tell you about this thing I saw! But then everyone got all crazy about it. Like, what was with Carolyn? She was what was her line? It was something along the lines of like, I can't believe she would tell us about that, about monkeys and private parts? And she's like, okay, look, lady, it's cool to be like a bit of a prude. I'm very much of a prude, but even I'm not like, monkeys? They engage in sexual activity and they're not even married? No, that was awesome. That was great. And I love the fact that Shireen is just like, guys, I need to tell you about what I just saw in copious detail.
But I'm glad that they had that moment, because if it wasn't for that moment, all you would have seen of White Collar is them all madly scrambling for an idol.
Well, all but one of them.
Yes.
Telling, and they should be able to figure that out.
Yeah, she should have been out there. But my favorite is Tyler out there, just like poking shit around.
Oh yeah, because he knows.
He's known since like week one. He's just out there like, yeah,
I guess
I'm looking.
I looked under this rock. Oh, there's no idol here. Oh, all right.
But that is actually a dangerous position for him to be in, because he has to seriously look and look like he's looking. Because if he does that, people will either think that he does know or that he's stupid.
Well, but, and this kind of also ties into the monkey sex, is, there's a sentence you don't say very often. But no, it's like, there's not a whole lot to do when you're out there. Yeah. And I think that might also, that might be the secret background theme of this entire episode. Was, like, they're 8 days in now, and they have nothing to do except stare at one another and occasionally watch monkeys bang. And it's like, so you just like, you saw all of the camps, everyone is just, they're starting to get on each other's nerves, and it's like, you gotta go out and do things. Like, all right, I guess I'll just search for this and whatever, I'm not gonna find anything, but it'll do something.
Yeah, they gotta come up with more games or something. Like the blue collars, the blue collars look like they were having fun as a tribe when they were fucking shooting baskets. The white collars need to come up with something.
Except for the Scorpion King, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He got all grumpy. He's like, gosh, they could be working instead of playing basketball. And then the next challenge in that previous episode was playing basketball. And didn't he feel dumb?
Oh, God. Yeah, the blue collars were just ridiculous this week.
Oh, no, it was great.
That was amazing. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. You know, Brian's right. It was... It started off, you know, the funny thing is at first I was like, oh, hey, it's just going to be Rodney being a jerk. But then it turned out to be, let's say, who was the jerk this week? Rodney was a jerk. Dan was a jerk. Lindsay was a jerk. Basically, the only two that got away without doing anything dumb was Sierra and... Actually, you know what? I think Sierra and Kelly, who only got away with not being dumb by virtue of the fact that they didn't do anything this episode.
But
like, Kelly actually had a sighting.
She had a girl.
She had a little confessional where she basically said, yeah, I'm not going to get involved in this. I'm a cop. We wait till after the crime's been committed to come on the scene.
But I like how she's like,
Missouri. Oh, sorry.
He's like, she's like, these guys are so emotional and Rodney can be such a drama queen. I just love that. Like the tough guy is coming from like the oldest woman on the tribe.
Oh yeah. Well, actually, you know,
not the fully grown men.
Lindsay also had a nice little bit of self-awareness there, where she was talking about, you know, all us white collars like to critique, or I'm sorry, blue collars, all us blue collars like to, wow, I slur a lot, just 2 ounces of gin and I'm slurring like crazy. all us blue collars like to judge other blue collars' work ethics because secretly we think ours is the best. And we know it's not, because mine is the best. And it's like, alright, cool, I like you for that. Who has her? I forget already.
I have her, and I love her. I love her more and more every week. And I know it was a real dick thing to say, but I died laughing when she shouted, "Did your god come down with this fucking beard?"
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing, like...
That's fucked up, but hilarious.
Yeah, well, at the time, I was like, oh, come on, man, that's kind of uncalled for. But then, like, I rewatched it, and I was like, that whole argument they were having was just the dumbest thing ever. And it was just like, because, okay, at a certain point in it, you can look at Mike, and you just realize he knows that he's wrong, and it's just like, well, I'm pot committed at this point. I'm big blind. I put money in. I'm not gonna turn away. I'm just gonna say, yeah, well, no, you guys never say thank you. I don't care. You say it all the time, and you told me specific examples, and I can't cite examples of times that I've said it to you. I know I'm right.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, Scorpion King went into that pick in a fight, but Rodney is such a little shit.
Yeah, and when he gets mad, he's got. He's got that bro thing going on, but the thing is, when he gets mad, it goes through the roof. I actually did a count of how many times he said bro in this episode, and would either of you like to take a guess? If you want to put points on it, I'll let you do it.
Brian, I'll bet that he said it over 6 times. Do you want to take the under?
Hell no, I don't want to take under that.
Yeah. Well, we'll do a Price is Right style, so I'll flip a coin, and it comes up. Hey, Brian, you go first.
9.
Oh, all 1. Right. I'm taking the 1. If it's Price is Right.
Oh, well, okay, not Price is Right style. Closest, you can go over.
Closest wins? I'm sticking with 6.
6?
Yeah, actually, we'll wager 2 points.
2 points? All right. Yeah, give Brian 2 points. Oh! He said it 8 times. Oh! And the thing is, I swear to God, like, he might even have said it more, because there were points where he was saying it, like, 3 times in one sentence. When he was super mad and he threw that wood on the ground, he's like, "Rah! Bro, there's your fucking wood, bro." Like, yeah, all right. Okay.
You know what else he did? That was the most dramatic fucking thing when he threw the wood onto the fire.
And no one was looking too. That's the saddest thing. It's like, come on, man.
He just wanted to cause a scene. It's like a fucking kid slamming the door to their room.
Yeah. No, it's just an immature little thing, but it's like, well, what do you expect? That guy is, he even described himself as a meathead. I still say it, you know, filet mignon, maybe.
Filet mignon.
It's kind of meat.
Good meat, though.
Yeah.
was that the fight because of Mike saying that he didn't work, or is that the fight because Dan called his mom a whore? Which, what the fuck, Dan? What the fuck are you doing?
That was the second fight. The Dan calling his mother a whore was the first fight. And then we had the third fight with Mike and Lindsay, but you're right, yeah. And you know, the thing about that calling a whore thing, it's like, okay, I'm all for trash talk. I don't mind it. If you're friends with someone, go ahead, trash talk them all you want. My thing is, it was kind of lazy. Like, all right, your mother's a whore. It's like, well, that's, you got to put effort into it, all right? And that's cheap, and it's easy. just like Dan's mother, and that's a good example of a brother's a whore.
This just goes back to what I said last week, though. I think Dan just is not intelligent.
Aren't you glad?
Well, clearly, he's a friggin'... Rodney's a freaking obviously a macho nutcase over there. You don't like to go like tell that guy his mom's a whore, and then if when he gets all pissed off, just ignore him. He might beat the shit out of you.
Oh, maybe Dan's genius. Maybe Dan's trying to bait Rodney into beating the shit out of him so that Rodney gets taken out of the game.
You know, though,
that he gets one spot closer.
You know, though, that during those two other fights that happened later that did not involve Dan, he was just off camera jumping up and down, punching his fists in the air and going, "Yes! Yes! Someone else fucked up for a change! Alright! Who's laughing now, blue collar? Dan's laughing now!" It was... it was pretty amazing, because like to the point where when Rodney was doing his cooldown thing, like, oh man, okay, I need to get all this stuff off my chest. He goes, who does he go to? He goes to the guy who said, "I don't like you anymore because you call my mother a whore," all that kind of stuff. He goes over to Dan and starts saying, "You know, no one respects me in fucking Texas. This, no one wants to live in Texas. Houses are $400,000 in mass." It's like $400,000. Come on, son.
I know. Are you fucking shitting me?
My crummy little 1970s tract housing home painted avocado green in Campbell, California, sold for $2 million. So, not after we sold it, mind you. We only got like maybe $100,000 for it, but I'm just saying.
No, yeah, me and my wife are kind of looking for houses, and I'm trying to find something bigger than a one bedroom for less than $1 million, and it's real fucking hard.
Yeah, good luck with that.
We live in a duplex, and I would like to buy it, but this duplex will sell for $4 million, and it's not in a great neighborhood, and it's not that great of a duplex.
The other thing that Rodney did this week, he did it last week, pissed me right off. This gets into one of our bets here. He said, twice he said, back home. Then once he said, where I'm from. And then he got super close. He said, "You know what? Back in Mass." I'm like, "You son of a bitch. Just say Boston. Just say it."
let's push that week over week. Whichever one happens first, we won't say next episode. Whichever one happens first over the next couple episodes until it happens. I'm still saying Joaquin's going to say New York. Nick, you sticking with Boston?
Yep.
Brian, you sticking with Fat?
Ready. Yeah.
Brent?
Absolutely.
All right. Okay, yeah. So the winner gets 3 points for that. If Joaquin says New York, Rodney says Boston, or Dan says that he's fat.
And we were so confident when we started that bet, too. We were like, this is going to happen in the next episode.
Because here we fucking are said, later. You have my New York word during tribal. When lying to her face.
Nobody says that. Nobody. What we haven't mentioned yet? We haven't mentioned Nina,
the no-collar tribe.
It was the very first thing that happens. She comes in and says, "You know, guys, I know you all hate me. I know, I'm the victim here. You all want to see me gone. Just don't treat me like an outsider and you can vote me out." Just like, oh, God.
Yeah, she just comes up, I'm gone, and we all know it. I'm already defeated. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, you know, with an attitude like that, yeah, I'm sorry. I really wanted to like her, you know, when we were just reading her bio in the first week, it's like, hey, I'm deaf, but you know what, I overcame that. I can overcome a lot of things. Go me. That was great. Awesome. And then this whole, I'm so alone, and it's just like, even I'm tired of her.
Yeah. And then, like, what got me, too, is when they cooked that, what was it, a lizard of some kind? And they were sitting there, they were actively putting forward a huge effort to try and include her. Like, they were being ridiculously nice, trying to include her after she was a wet blanket for 8 days. And she's just like, no.
I don't want to play. No,
I'm good. It's cool, no.
It's fine. Enjoy yourself.
What kind of a dumbass tries out for Survivor? And everything out there won't fucking eat, like, food they caught. Like on
exactly! What's she waiting for? Is she waiting for some gefilte fish or something? She's never not going to get that.
You know there's an eating challenge coming if you happen to make it. It's coming.
Yeah.
Are you just planning to lose challenges along the way? Because that's not a good idea.
Well, apparently her tribe is, because... Oh, well, we haven't...
We'll get there, but that was one half of the no-caller. The other half of no-caller, like, is I'm pretty sure that Jen and Haley are an OTP that I'm shipping in the season of Survivor. They're totally going to get together.
They're a nice couple. They, you know what?
I don't know what that means.
OTP means one true pairing. It's when you're watching a show with a bunch of guys and girls, and you believe that these two are destined for each other. For example, in Avatar The Last Airbender, Katara's OTP is Aang, not Zuko.
Well, that's more canon couple. OTP is what you, is largely involves headcanon.
Yeah.
But you, yeah.
And like, I could say Katara's true OTP. Katara's true OTP is Zuko.
Yeah.
That's headcanon. That's something you made up yourself.
We need to change the subject, or else we're going to go down a deep, dark rabbit hole with no survivors.
Anyway, yeah, there's no survivors.
Welcome to AvatarCast. Anyway. Your podcast for six-year-old cartoons.
Anyway, Jen... No, like that cartoon's like 10 years old now. Jen and Haley were friggin' adorable surfing together.
They were. And, you know, as I said, like she, those two and Shireen, they're the only three that are actually having any fun in this game. Everyone else is just... They're just, you know what? I'm going to yell and scream because nobody's working, or I'm not being appreciated, or who was saying fun? It was Joe, in between being super ableist, was saying, oh, no, it's about fun and making relationships. Meanwhile, preventing himself from making a relationship with someone. Yeah, and they're the only two who are like, you know what, let's have some fun while we're out here. Let's go surfing. Why not?
Yeah.
Although that driftwood they found, I don't know, that driftwood that they found that was perfectly shaped like a boogie board, that seems...
Right? Like, what the hell?
Yeah. It didn't even seem like they were looking around for a long time, either.
Yeah. Well, yeah, as we said, you got, like, that's two
full... Edited. It might be 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They crammed 3 days into 1 hour of programming.
Yeah.
So they may have been looking for a while, but still, that's pretty lucky on their part. Yeah.
Also, I love that Haley said that surfing was her number three passion.
Yeah. I want to know what her number one and two are. I'm thinking like 1980s musicals a la Flashdance and Bocce Ball.
Oh, I was thinking Sex and Rock and Roll. Go fucking hardcore.
No drugs. She's straight edge. She and CM Punk hang out.
Oh my god. I had an employee once who was straight edge. It was the fucking most annoying thing ever. He's like, I'm so hardcore. I'm going to go to bed at 9 o'clock.
You know, that's the weird thing. So I used to live with a straight edge guy, and like half of his friends were complete tools and were so friggin' full of themselves. Like, man, I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I don't have sex. That means I'm better than you. I'm like, I don't do any of that shit either. Why? What makes you so much better? And then the other half were like really cool, really chill, just like, yeah, hey, you know, do what you want. This is what I choose. And that's, I don't know how I got into this, but yeah.
I'm pretty sure that Joaquin that would fall on the douchebag side of that spectrum.
Oh, no.
But there's no way he would ever go straight edge. No. He lives the life.
Yeah. He has champagne wishes and caviar dreams for sure. I feel like he thinks he's Gordon Gekko.
I don't know. He has his own headcanon about himself that just does not match up with what we're seeing.
And his new nickname of Walk.
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 Walk this way. Walk I don't, with me.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know Walk This Way. I like that one. I came up with Walk-a-mole, Walktoberfest, Walk-a-mole. Yeah, I don't know, but like, seriously.
Oh, I like walkie-talkie.
Yeah, walkie-talkie.
I like Walk Hard. That's pretty good.
Walk Hard. Dewey Cox? Walk Hard. No, it's like, I don't know who came up with it. I thought it was Tyler, but you made a good point. Shireen
said it first.
Say it, but that doesn't, yeah, we don't know who did it. Whoever did it, though, you are very, very bad at coming up with nicknames. Even hockey players would come up with something more interesting, like Woxie or whatever. I don't know.
The Walkinator. That's what I would come up with, because I really like Baconators.
Yes. Oh, God.
That is the greatest sandwich ever invented. It's... No. I take it back. Second greatest sandwich.
What is the greatest?
If you can go find an Arby's, ask them if they have Meat Mountain. It is 2 ounces of every single type of meat they have. Not fun. I took a picture of it. If you look at my... Look, it's one of the only three pictures I posted on my Twitter profile. At We Have Snacks. That thing was much more than a snack. It's odd. It's a hidden menu item.
I was obviously never had
a Monte Cristo.
Oh, Monte Cristos are so good.
I've seen one of those, and even I'm just like, well, I can't. No. That's too much. Too much sandwich for me. I can't do this.
Oh, see, that was me with a Luther. I could not do a Luther.
What's a Luther? Yeah, wait, is that the one that's on? It's on two Krispy Kreme donuts?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's a double cheeseburger and two Krispy Kreme donuts.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one they did in that Boondocks episode. It gives you the itis.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's they mentioned in that tip. So, okay. That's just the general roundup. We got our bets, so we're pushing New York versus Boston versus Fat. So we had a bet, Nick. I was saying the White Collars dissolve week four, and you took the under for 2 points. It's week three.
Yeah.
You're maybe out 2 points. Next week is a double episode, so if they merge next week, then I will get those 2 points from you, my friend. But if they don't, we're just going to push it.
You know, I don't think they're going to do it in episode four. Because if they merge in episode four, that would give one tribe of eight and one tribe of seven. I don't think they want that. Yeah. I'm thinking episode five now, but yeah, you got good odds, so yeah. Screw you.
Well, I committed to week four, so if it happens week five, then I don't get those 2 points either.
Well, yeah, but you've got two episodes in week four with which to do it. That's so true. I like your odds. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. We bet that White Collars would be dissolved. And I think the no callers would get folded between the two. And the bet was not about a merge. It was about White Collars getting dissolved because they looked like a friggin' train wreck week one.
Oh, so we may very well neither of us get points. I like that. It might just
be a complete push. And the last bet, which is still the push, is Carolyn giving Tyler her immunity necklace.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I still think it'll happen. I still think it will. Huh? It's coming. It's coming. Believe me. So that brings us to the... Wait, what?
I was going to say, first they're going to have to lose an immunity challenge for that, but the way the no-collar tribe's performing, I don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, it might not... It could happen after the merge, for all we know. Mm-hmm. That necklace is still good. Tyler and Carolyn both make it.
That means there's three hidden immunity idols out there.
And only one of them is found.
Ooh, that's interesting. All right. Yep. Yeah, let's get into that challenge.
Yeah, let's get into the challenge. So this one was the friggin' water buckets, which I actually thought was a nice idea. I thought that was cool, because there's a bunch of different ways you can try and tackle it. Mm. Everybody kind of did the same thing. The no-callers, I think, had a cool idea, like tipping it back so you don't have to plug as many holes.
I really like that idea. Unfortunately, their follow-up strategy of dumping half the water onto the ground instead of the bucket. Yeah, that didn't work out very well. Joe, I was so high on you on that first episode, and now every idea you have had since then has just made me question my faith in you. Like, let's spill out everything, and let's split the votes, because that won't go backfiring, and now let's sit one of our players in a challenge where we don't need to. It's just, Joe!
The most difficult thing she has to do is keep her hand on a barrel.
Right? I mean, yes.
Fucking anybody can do that. What the? I don't. What?
No. You're all out there, audience land, podcast people. We are literally speechless, trying to figure out what the hell they were thinking right now.
Yeah, you all won't know this, but I just cut out a 25-second silence.
Yeah. 25 seconds of me reenacting streams at monkey sex.
Remember James going home with the two idols in his pocket? That used to be the stupidest move of the ever. But now, like one where all you have to do is put your hands in this thing so water doesn't come out of it. Let's fucking have two less hands.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, exactly. You know, the sad thing is, though, it didn't backfire on him at all. Like the one who paid the price for it was Nina, who admittedly kind of deserved to have pay the price anyway. But still, it's like, come on, man.
Yeah, no, we'll get to what happened with her getting kicked out. But like, I don't know if this will go down as one of the dumbest. I still say Tyson basically voting himself out was the dumbest thing ever. And James was just a bad player, but Tyson just.
James was not a bad player. He got greedy. He thought, if I go one more week, I'll be able to use both of these in a row and guarantee $1 million. Unfortunately, he did not. The one thing that I have to say about this challenge was that it looked really dangerous to me. like people had their thumbs all jammed up in those holes, which is like, okay, that's a great idea, but you know, you're going through this like wicker foot thing or whatever. I could easily see people tripping and just their thumb getting ripped right the hell off. Nothing bad happened though, so you know, that's just me being a worrywart, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, what was there's another one where I was really concerned. I think it was Survivor China that had the what was her name? I think it was the first appearance of Sugar. And it also had the pro wrestling woman. I don't know. But like,
yeah, well, actually, I liked her.
The first week, the very first week, that it was like it was a ball or two in a giant mud pit, and all I had to do was push the ball to the other side.
Oh, yeah, it was like rolled over people and everything.
And they were fucking brutalizing each other out there. It was horrendous to watch, and I think they had to call it because the ball was just not moving, and they were just beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, I remember one match. Oh, I can't remember. It was a guy whose name was still perplexing me to this day. His name was Boo, and he was from like Louisiana or whatever. And he just goes on the ground and starts cradling his knee and just like, should we get medical? He's like, nah, man, nah. It's just my ACL. Hold on a second. And then you see him stretch out and you hear the most sickening pop you have ever heard in your life. It's like, okay, I'm good to go now. I was just like, oh. And a little bit of a preview for the next episode. We get to see some motherfucking blood. Finally, yeah. We get some blood sport, and you get teased with Jeff going medical.
Oh, so, that's pure tease. Somebody's just gonna like have their forehead get nicked or something.
No, like their arm's gonna get ripped off, like arm fall off boy, and they're just gonna beat other contestants with it. Arm fall off boy, the greatest of the Legion of Superheroes.
So, was there anything exciting about this challenge? I mean, you could tell when the no callers dumped out like more than half of their first bucket onto
first
the ground.
Two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
exactly.
Could tell.
No, Brian's right. They did it. They did it twice. I don't think they lost it on purpose. I don't want to go that route, but yeah, no. So this challenge and even the whole episode as a whole, it was good. Don't get me wrong. Not complaining, but it was kind of pro forma. Like we knew where it was going from the start. All right, this is the story of how Nina gets herself voted off. That said, though, I'll admit I fell for it a little bit when they were teasing, oh, maybe it's Will going to go home. Yeah. But still, yeah, it was very pro forma. The one thing I liked, kind of getting back to what we mentioned with the tribes, was they at least showed, all right, we know there's no suspense, so we're going to show you that things are starting to break down. And so it took me a minute. Like at work, I was thinking about it today. I was like, this was a better episode than when I was watching it last night. Like, thinking on it later was good.
Yeah. The only last thing I want to think about the immunity challenge is I almost died laughing a second time this episode when Rodney's sitting on the thing, or Mike is sitting on the thing, and then... Yeah, Mike is sitting on the thing, and then Rodney comes up after putting the bucket down, and Mike fucking, like, gives him a bro hug. And I'm like, you just had the biggest fucking bitch out at him.
Yeah. You know what the best medicine for your friendship is? Winning.
Yeah.
Victory.
Fucking apparently. Yeah. I don't know. That's...
I love when Jeff rubs it in that the losers are losing. Yes. After the first time they dump their bucket, oh, you dumped half your water all over the ground.
Yeah. Well, but how about also, like, seriously? Normally it's just, okay, see you guys later, and then everyone walks back to their camps and the losers are kind of sullen. But this time, Jeff's like, okay, winners, you go back to your camp. I'm just going to yell at the losers for a minute here and just shame them. What the fuck were you guys thinking? You had five people and you only used four? What? And they just had no excuse. It was like, oh, I'm sorry, man.
He does subtly do things through those little sessions.
Oh, he's very passive aggressive. I kind of like it.
it's the kind of like, what the fuck were you doing? And if you're really going to kick Nina out for doing anything today, then you're all kind of fucking stupid. Like, you've got to know why you're kicking Nina out now, because it ain't for anything to do with today.
Yeah. Especially that line of like, wait, what was there anything you had to hear in this challenge? No? So you're hearing, you're being deaf didn't really matter, did it? Well, okay.
Yeah, tribal was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Nina gets voted out, which, you know, like, in Nina's defense, Will probably should have been the one to be sent home here. He should have been. This is the second week in a row when he's just fucking done nothing in the challenge. Like, he is an anchor. But she gets voted out just because she's so fucking annoying.
Yeah. Well, you know the thing about Will, at least like what I imagine in challenges, is if they have a challenge where it's, you know, just kind of tagging in or short bursts of activity or whatever, I think he'd be fine. It's like, even towards the end, he looked all right. It was just that I need a minute to catch my breath kind of
thing
is all. Yeah, so I don't think he's that bad. So if they can tag in and out or something like that, or I don't know.
Which funny thing is that challenge, they didn't use Nina half the time. They could have tagged Will out and tagged Nina in.
Oh, God, you're right.
They probably could have done that.
Yeah. You know, Will, though, is starting to grow on me to the point where I'm still not dropping any of my players, but if one of mine gets voted out, Shireen, you're on borrowed time. watch more monkeys, enjoy them while they last. But if she gets voted out, you know, I'm probably going to pick up Will because I like he started off very, oh, yeah, we're just going to have fun. We're no callers. You know, we do what we do. But he has actually become a game player, like to the point where he's just like Joe's feeling all guilty about we're going to have to vote out Nina. And he's just like, hey, what game are we playing? Survivor. You're damn right. Are we playing Friends? No, we're playing Survivor. I'm just like, Will, I like you now. Not enough to say YouTube sensation unironically, but I do like you.
Well, and he friggin' nails it in Tribal Council. He straight up says, no matter how much we take her, no matter how much we take Nina aside, she always brings it back down to her being deaf.
Yeah.
And, like, no matter how much you take her aside and assure her that there's no giant conspiracy against her, because there really isn't.
Yeah.
Like, she's just annoying, and all people are talking about is how annoying she is. It's not that there's a conspiracy, or, like, she just was so defeatist from the first minute to the last minute of this episode. And it's, like, just, like, it was not there, at least from what we saw.
That's the thing, it's like, I feel like he probably wouldn't even have bothered saying that, except that she came after him, like, real hard, like, to the point where it was, like, she just threw him under... It's more like, ladies and gentlemen, there's a brief delay on the subway this evening. It appears that someone has been thrown underneath the train. That's my subway. That's what I imagine a subway conductor sounds like. No, she showed immense strength. She's like a 54-year-old woman, and she bodily lifted a 250-pound African-American man over her head and threw him underneath the bus, then ran into the bus and backed up over him several times. Like, that was not pleasant to watch.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have feelings about
that. That was great. She was just out of nowhere. We definitely have to vote Will out right now.
Yeah. Exactly. After they spent, like, 5 minutes saying, we don't like you because you don't let us like you. We want to try and like you. She's like, vote out Will! Please!
I mean, that's the thing. This game always ends up as, so long it isn't me.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can gameplay all you want and form alliances, but if you think you might be on the chopping block, then everything goes out the fucking window, so long as it ain't me this week.
Yeah.
And, like I was saying at the beginning, she's right. It should be Will. It should be. Because he's the one who's liable in challenges, and you might not like Nina, but Nina's better in challenges, and that keeps you out of immunity.
Yeah.
Like, you leave Will in, and that's just one more immunity you're taking yourself to.
Well, I also love that right before they voted her out, they're like, well, this is what you need to do to fit in here, but you can't because you're going to be gone in 5 minutes.
Exactly. Or Joe saying, you know what? I have a lot of deaf friends back home. I know what it's like to be with deaf people. It's like, nothing good has ever started with, I have a lot of anything back home.
I have a lot of black friends.
That's exactly. That's what their racist cousin-in-laws, whatever, from Idaho say. They're like, oh, yeah, no. I have lots of Mexican friends. They all pick my potatoes. That kind of thing. It's like, oh, come on, man. Like, there's Joe, stop being so ableist. Really, like, seriously, like, think about those things he was saying. He's like, you know, I do feel like she's weak in challenges because she can't hear, but, you know, I don't think that's a reflection of her as a person. It's like, This was a challenge that didn't involve any hearing whatsoever. The only thing she had to do was hear you tell her, hey, go back over there and just stand in the corner for 2 minutes. There you go.
See?
Yeah.
And you know what, though? This immunity, okay. When people ask me why I like watching Survivor, because a lot of people write it off as just being reality TV crap, and they tie it in with a whole bunch of other crappy reality TV. And this, there's a reason that John was basically created out of this, because it's still the best reality television out there. But I tell people I like watching it because I see real life in this show. And people are like, yeah, because you have a torch and people get voted off your island. And no, that's not it. Like, my wife's previous job, she was up for her 6-month probation to be ending. And a week before her probation ended, they brought her in and they told her, we're changing the metrics, we're changing this, we're changing that, you have a bunch of problems, and we're going to give you a week to fix it. It's like... And her job was sales. So it's like, you cannot completely change the way you do sales and generate new sales on this completely different method of doing sales within 1 week. Yeah. It was basically the equivalent of what happened in this tribal council of, hey, Nina, here's all the things to do to fix what you're doing. But it's too late, so we're basically just giving you life advice and kicking you the fuck out the door.
Yeah, well, that, and also, like, look at the people. Everyone knows somebody who is like one of those survivors. Like, everyone knows a Rodney. Everyone knows a Shireen who's a little bit kooky, a little bit nutty, all that kind of thing, whatever.
The lucky people know of Vince.
Yeah, oh, lucky or unlucky? Well, I guess being unlucky is a sort of luck. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah, if it ain't for bad luck, I would have no luck at all.
Yeah, like, everyone's got some. Like, I've got a Nina at work, you know, and who just goes around constantly feeling sorry for himself and just, and a Mike at work who comes around and just says, nobody does any work here but me. And then he goes on a break for 20 minutes and says, I never take breaks. You know, I mean, everybody knows someone who does that. And so that's why I actually like Survivor. I'd probably like Amazing Race if I saw it, you know, whatever. I like the game show ones. The ones that's like, hey, here's a C-list celebrity. We're going to put a camera on them for an hour. Fuck that stuff.
Yeah, that's the fucking worst.
Yeah.
But the opposite of the fucking worst is the fucking best, which is goddamn Fantasy Survivor.
Yeah!
Yes. So let's recap. Nick gets 3 points because Shireen, Sierra, and Max all won immunity. So you get 3 points solid. You said
Dr. Max Dawson,
PhD.
There we go. Get it right. Pay the price, bud, Nick.
Brian gets 4 points because Dan and Rodney were on blue collars, got immunity. And 2 points for Jen, who likes to play with fire and survived tribal. So that gives him 4. And then I got myself 4 points because Joe, Wonder Twin Joe, got 2 points. No Show Kelly got a point, even though she showed up. And my my survivor crush of the season, Lindsay, was on the blue collar and got a point for winning immunity on that tribe, giving me 4 points. I am never going to drop Lindsay. Even if I know she's on the chopping block in like a week, I'm not dropping her. I love her. She's fantastic.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to drop Joe because I feel like something's coming. I don't know what. I just feel like something's coming.
Please drop Joe because I want him.
I know. This is a problem, though.
Just try to trade. I'll trade broker. Joe for Rodney. There you go.
Fuck that. There you go. Fuck that. Fuck that.
Damn, man.
Joe for Dan. That seems like a decent
No, trade. Also no. The only one I might consider would be Max.
Joe for Max, huh? Dr. Max Dawson, PhD for Joe.
I do
like the idea of diversifying my portfolio so that I always have somebody
going.
You got
one of every tribe.
But I gotta stick with the chosen people. God's chosen people, the Jews. So we're sticking with him. He's the only one. The only one.
Fine, you just drop Joe, and I'll pick him up. And then.
No.
See, that's the trouble I was having last week. It's like, I was thinking about dropping Dr. Max Dawson, PhD, but then I realized, you know what, there really is just no one better to pick up.
God, see, this is the thing. I really want to pick up Tyler. I really, really want to pick up Tyler, but I don't want to drop Lindsay because I love her. I don't want to drop Kelly because she's definitely making it past the merge, and Joe is the only motherfucker getting me points. because those no callers are going back next week, and Joe is not going to be the one leaving. It's going to be Will, and we all know it. That's two more points I'm getting out of Joe. Oh, I guess I should pick up Haley for a week then.
Yeah, but who are you going to drop, Kelly for Haley?
No. I'm keeping Kelly. Kelly's winning it all for me. No, I'm good. I'm staying pat. Haley and Tyler are both pickups that I got my eye on, but I'm staying pat. Brian's up next on the waiver wire, because he was, Nick and Brian, you both have 11 points right now, and Nick got fewer points this week, so that puts Nick second on the waiver wire.
Cool. Well, so I can't bet against Shireen, because monkey sex and whiskey, so she's staying on Team Red Collar. Sierra, I'm still feeling good. Especially because she had the wherewithal, like when everyone else in the tribe was blowing up and yelling and screaming, she's just standing there spooning rice into her mouth, just sitting there going like, hey, you guys, keep on fighting.
Yeah, Sierra and Kelly need a secret alliance of people who sit in the fucking corner and watch shit blow up.
My favorite thing, the only thing Sierra has said this episode was she very briefly, while they were fighting, she said, I didn't do my laundry today. And that was her contribution to this horrible argument of, I didn't do my laundry today because she was busy gathering firewood. It's like, oh, Sierra, you are really good at this. So I like her. Cause so far, nobody is angry at her. She's definitely athletic, so she's not a detriment on any of the tribe or any of the challenges. So I'm feeling good about her. Also, again, she has not said anything. So... So that makes me think they're saving her characterization. Isn't it weird to think of these real people as characters?
I mean, with the editing they are.
Essentially, You never want to make the mistake of thinking they're like they are. They're as bad as they are. Well, Rodney might be as bad as he is.
I'm pretty sure he is. Pretty sure Vince is too.
Well, and then Dr. Max Dawson, PhD. You know... He's got physical strength, and I feel like Shireen is lower on the totem pole, so I'm gonna keep him just cause, worst case scenario, he'll be my guy in White Collar, so. I'm gonna keep him too, even though I don't really like him all that much, but again, he's got a bar mitzvah, so there we go, we're gonna keep him.
Alright, and our podcast league leader at the moment, Brian, you wanna make any adjustments?
Well, no, because I can't have Joe. I want to explain to you why I want Joe. Because he said one of my favorite lines, because he's a freaking idiot. He was, before they all started fighting and everything, at the beginning of the episode, he's trying to sound smart. And he says, everyone's state of minds are in a great frame of reference.
What does that mean? That's one of those great state. That's like that. Oh God! You know he used to be middle management or something, and he would come up with those things all the time. Like, we got to put in 110%. We got to get our state of minds in the right frame of reference. You need to move your vector to a new parameter.
That is my job, especially because I'm in advertising. I just come up with bullshit, and people are like,
you need to ask them what color their paradigm is.
We need to shift the paradigm. I don't even need to know what it is. I already know it needs to get shifted to the left.
Yeah. I was also considering dropping Rodney for Mike, but I don't want to do that because Mike's going to get voted out the second they go to tribal council. But for the same kind of reason, when Rodney's sitting there screaming at him, going, whoa, what are you, the fucking captain now? He's literally standing there doing the got a little captain in your pose.
Yeah. You know, that's an interesting thing, though, because like, I kind of feel like it's you're 50-50, because as... Like, Mike might get voted out, but Rodney might also get voted out. I mean, they're both of them. I think, okay, maybe not 50-50. 60-40. I think Mike is a little bit more, on the chopping block than Rodney, but still, I mean, I don't know.
It wouldn't take a whole lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Mike just literally pissed, there's six people in the tribe. He pissed off three of them.
Yeah. And two of the people that he didn't actively piss off were like, oh, fuck all this.
Yeah, but
then they would get behind it either way.
I mean, did you guys watch the preview for the next two episodes? He's running around, Rodney, that is running around yelling at people, even going up to Lindsay and saying, I don't know what kind of person gets a face tattoo, and then they just cut, and I was just like, oh, dear. So I don't know. He might be self-imploding, but we'll definitely see.
The awesome kind, because her god came down and gave her that tattoo.
gives her a 6+ ward save against all missile attacks. No, I don't. I don't know. Honestly, like, hey, you know, it's your body, you do what you want, but I kind of do draw a line at face tattoos.
Yeah, the only other people I know with face tattoos are Mike Tyson and Chakotay.
And Charles Manson.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, that's three.
Yeah. Chakotay, though, I mean, he pulls it off.
He pulls it off look-wise, but he's still a little, a Kuchimoya, you know.
And then Mike Tyson, I mean, it serves him well enough that he can solve mysteries.
Okay, let's recap points.
Yeah.
So Brian got 11 points from fantasy, but since we bet earlier this episode on the number of times that Rodney said bro, that bumps him up to 13, a clear leader. Nick has gotten 11 points from fantasy, and he hasn't won or lost any bets, so he's just sitting pat 11.
Haven't won or lost any yet. I'm gonna be winning tomorrow.
Yeah,
he's gonna say Boston 75 times.
He just has to say it first. It's just whoever says it first.
Dan's gonna say fat one time, not Rodney. Who are we talking? Oh yeah, Rodney. Yeah. Hey, Rodney's gonna say Boston 75 times, and I would have won if we kept the original parameters.
You know, it won't matter because it's gonna start out with Wacamele. At the beginning of the episode, talking about the lights of New York and how it's so dark here at night and you can't sleep.
He's just going to sing that Jay-Z song.
Lights. Is that Jay-Z? No, that's something else. It's Kanye.
No, lights is Kanye. Come on. I know they all look alike to you, but Kanye is really, really talented.
He's also a dickbag. Don't go to college because I didn't go, and look at me now. Yeah, because that works for everyone.
I don't know what you're talking about anyway. Lights is by Journey, okay?
Yes. And you win. And because you won the bet earlier, I had 10 points from fantasy, but I lost 2 from that bet, so that leaves me at 8. I was so excited to be in double digits, and then I just lost 2 and brought myself back down to 8.
Wait, just think about next week when you're going to be in double digits again. Just all of the joy that you felt this week when you reach double digits, you get to do it next time too.
Yeah, there's no way that I avoid double digits. That's true. Even if one of my players gets voted out, I'll still get a point from the other two. So anyway, that's this week. We still have a standing bet about the number of times that Max mentions that he studied/taught Survivor during the merge. Whenever the merge happens, that bet will matter. It's only 2 points, but we'll get there. Anyway, that's it for this week. I'm pumped for next week just to see fucking Rodney explode one more time and to hear Lindsay's amazing deep cut comeback, because you know she will have one.
Oh yeah.
Because that god line was pure gold.
You're right. She is the sassy kind of hairdresser, so good for her.
I love her.
Yeah.
But I'm married. Alright. Until next week, everybody. Goodbye.
Right. Have fun.
Here it comes.
Circle of life. Life is a circle. We're going round and round. Righto. Yeah, can do.